Good morning. These pink masks represent cancer awareness, and we have people in our church that are battling this horrible disease, so we want to make sure we keep them in prayer. Well, good morning again. My name's Nathan. I am one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church. It is a privilege to be with you. We're continuing our series on what it means to live as exiles in Babylon. Now, Babylon is just a type of the world. What it means to be a Christian in a world that seems to be so opposed to Christianity. What it means to be different, to stand out in some way, never quite fit in. This is what it means to be a Christian in the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. And the truth is, our identity and our allegiance comes from someone different than the world, and our allegiance belongs to someone different than the world. So, you know, one of the things that makes us different is our source of information. I mean, knowledge and wisdom, and how it defines our identity and how it commands our allegiance. We call this revelation. Today we're going to talk about revelation. Not the book of Revelation, but something very similar, revelation. Yesterday, I got here because I hadn't finished my PowerPoint for my message, so I thought, I'll slip in on Saturday. Nobody will be here. I can go in my office and get it done. Well, I had forgotten that Mark Bevelak, his men's group, meets on Saturdays, and actually, they've started an alpha group, and I was really impressed. I got here at the tag end of it. They said, you know, Nathan, if you want to, you can come down to Butter Cookie and we'll just hang out a little bit. And I actually had to go down there anyway because I was going to snap a picture of a building. So I thought, let me go down there. And we started hanging out and began talking. And, of course, the guys want a preview of what the sermon's going to be because they want to know whether they should show up or not, you know. So they asked me a little bit about it. So I didn't give them much of a spoiler alert, but I did tell them some things. And as we got to talking, people began to share moments when they had experienced revelation. That is, some mystery was uncovered that they couldn't have known by themselves, or someone exposed this mystery. Alex Garofalo, I don't know if you know him, he shared an experience that he had with me yesterday that illustrates what today's message is all about. Now, see, one day Alex and his son had gone to Mineola. Now, they were going there to eat at a restaurant. Apparently, it's a very good Caribbean restaurant with great jerk chicken, just great jerk food. And they ran into a pastor they had never met before. And the pastor was there looking to find maybe a slice of pizza before he caught the train. Well, Alex told him, said, well, be honest with you, the pizza in this such and such a place is not so good, but how about you join us? They have great jerk food over here. And so he invited the pastor there, and the pastor joined them, and they sat down and they ate. It was Alex, his son, and this pastor. Well, as they were in the restaurant, they talked for about 40 minutes, apparently. And the pastor eventually had to excuse himself because he had to catch a 7 p.m. train. He was going somewhere. But before he left, he stood up and he asked Alex if he had an older sister in Florida. Strange question. And he asked, and she's not doing so well. And of course, Alex says, well, yes. I mean, he's surprised by this. He also provided Alex with the name of his sister. Now, this is a person they've never met before. And he told Alex, you know, you really need to continue helping her. Very strange occurrence. So he encouraged Alex and his son to continue doing good. And then he spoke to the restaurant owner who was there. Apparently, this guy's name is Michael. And he accurately said that Michael had three kids, and his older son wasn't doing well, and he encouraged Michael to continue to help and support his son. And then he began to share more facts about Michael and his family, things that couldn't be known. And when Michael hears these things, this restaurant owner, he begins to break down and cry. I mean, it's an amazing occurrence. You talk about revelation, and as fast as it all started, it ended. The man left. Alex's son and Michael were both blown away with the information that this pastor disclosed. I mean, somehow a mystery had been unveiled before their eyes. Mysteries. You know, this man had received a revelation from God. See, people love a good mystery. They want to know what's being veiled, what's under the cover. They look for answers to things that are hidden beyond their natural capacity to discern. You know, we have a limit. People face important, pressing questions. They want to receive answers that they can rely on. Have you ever been there? That you needed an answer that you could rely on? I mean, what's happening to my marriage? I mean, how can I connect with my children? What's really true? Where am I heading? What's my next move? Career, family, medical issues, school, personal relationships, personal problems, decisions. Where can I get the truth and how can I recognize it? You ever felt like that? Ever have moments like that? Well, see, the truth is, human knowledge and wisdom bump into a ceiling. As smart as we are, we can only go so high. I mean, you can learn all you can learn, but eventually you bump into a ceiling. But you see, God's knowledge and wisdom doesn't have a ceiling. It has no parameters or restraints. I mean, our ceiling is God's floor. Some things have to come down from above. Some things just have to be revealed. They can't be discerned from below. See, the world's wisdom, Babylon's, if you will, it competes for our attention and our allegiance. It wants to catch us, our attention, and then it wants us to give our allegiance to it. You see, but God's revelation for the Christian takes primacy. It's first and foremost. It should be your primary source of information, and it should command your allegiance. It, regarding your attention, your identity, your allegiance, all of these things. And see, this is clearly illustrated in the text that we're going to read today. This is Daniel chapter 2. Now, last week when we left our intrepid heroes, Daniel chapter 1, Daniel and his three friends were found to be 10 times better than all of the wise men in Babylon. And we're going to pick up today in Daniel chapter 2, and these wise men, they're sorcerers, and they're magicians, and they're astrologers, and diviners, and priests, and mediums. We call them Chaldeans. Super educated. They were the PhDs of the time, and Daniel and his three friends were educated in all of the wisdom of Babylon. But in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's having some bad dreams. He can't sleep. So he says, well, I've got all these wise men that I had trained. Bring them before me. And he says to the wise man, he says, look, I'm having bad dreams. I need you guys to interpret the dreams. But here's the catch. You can't just interpret it. You have to tell me what the dream is. And he says, if you fail to do it, I'm going to tear you limb from limb, dismember you, and I'm going to make your houses a garbage dump. Could you imagine the pressure? I mean, this is stunning. He says, I don't just want you to interpret the dream. You could make something up. I want you to tell me what the dream is and interpret it. And that's where we pick up in the text in Daniel chapter 2, verse 10. It says this, the astrologers answered the king, there is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever ask such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they don't live among humans. In fact, this made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men in Babylon. Sucks to be wise. I mean, so the decree was issued to put the wise men to death. And men were sent to look for Daniel. Remember, he's included among these wise men. And his friends as well, to put them to death. And then verse 14, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out and to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. Daniel knew what he was doing. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? I mean, Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. And then it says in verse 16, at this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream. Daniel says, okay, I'll do it. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, a.k.a. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his three buddies, right? He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said this, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and he raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power, and you have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Let's pray. Father, I pray that right now by your Spirit, you help us, because we do need your revelation. We do need your information, your knowledge, your wisdom. God, we can only ascend so high in our ability. God, we need a word from you today. Help us. Help us, God, to hear your voice and to follow it, to discern the truth, to not only receive your revelation, but to rely on it, and God, to worship you for it, God. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so it was yesterday I showed up. I didn't expect all this. It's almost like God ordered my message in some ways. I got some information. I got a great story from Alex. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, like many people, maybe Alex or other people, desperately wanted the answer to a mystery. And he wanted to be sure that the source could be trusted. Today, people are desperately seeking for answers. They long for knowledge and wisdom that's beyond them. And they want, well, revelation. See, revelation, it means an uncovering. Anybody have any idea what this might be? It means an unveiling. It's a mystery. Revelation doesn't have to be a scary word. It literally means, well, to uncover. And this is God's revelation to us. This is the Bible. This Bible is probably, well, it is definitely older than everybody in this church. And it has stood the test of time. I mean, this is, you see this? Beautiful, right? I mean, I'm almost afraid to break it. But honestly, nothing can shatter the Word of God. So something that was once hidden is now disclosed. This is revelation. And this is one more thing that makes us just peculiar. Strangers, foreigners, exiles in the world. It's weird to get your primary source of information from something like this. At least to the world, it seems weird. It's almost like you're a plant growing in a city between the cracks. You stand out. You're different. You're weird. But in this case, we're weird because of the source of our information, or the source of our wisdom, revelation. The funny thing about revelation is this. We have to receive it, we must rely on it, and we have to respond to it. I mean, this is exactly what our passage teaches us today. We receive God's revelation, we rely on God's revelation, and we respond to God's revelation. Let's take a look at each one in turn. So Daniel received God's revelation. Look at verse 17. It says, "Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery." Notice a couple of things first in this verse. We'll go back. Yeah. He asked his friends to pray. Prayer is a conduit through which we receive information. If the Bible says in James, if any of you lack wisdom, let that person ask of God, who gives to all people liberally. You can ask God. You can pray for wisdom, for revelation, and God will do it. And notice, it's a mystery. Mystery means it's covered up, it's hidden. Daniel doesn't know what it is. So these Chaldeans, these wise men of Babylon, these PhDs, They can't figure it out. It's hidden to them. Remember, human wisdom and knowledge bump into a ceiling. God's wisdom and knowledge has no ceiling. So some things just have to come down from above. See, too often people believe that they can apprehend God's truth on their own. By the way, have you ever met people like that? I'm smart enough to figure it out. But all I have to tell you is this, and I've read a lot of wisdom literature in my life. Just keep living. There's going to come a time in your life where you bump into something you can't figure out. Some people's ceilings are a little higher than others, but we've all got a ceiling. And when that day comes, you're going to need a word from God. You're going to need revelation. We need that. You're going to bump into a ceiling or a wall, something that constrains it. So they prayed. And then it goes on to say, so that he and his friends might not be executed, which is a very good reason to pray with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then something amazing happened. Look at verse 19. It says, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. The mystery, the hidden thing, was now revealed. Daniel received the revelation. He received it. He didn't retrieve it in his own might and power, in his own strength. There are some things that are just too high for us, too lofty. We can't go up and retrieve them. They have to be sent down. We have to receive them. And you see, we receive God's wisdom and strength. We just can't go up and retrieve it sometimes. We pray. We depend on God. Revelation marks us out as strange to the world. And if all this sounds strange to you, by the way, because it sounds a little supernatural. Well, I hate to tell you this. If you believe in God, you are already committed to a supernatural worldview. Do you know that? It's true. If you believe in God, you've already committed yourself to a supernatural worldview. We serve a supernatural God. And I'm not saying there isn't such thing as natural wisdom. All truth is God's truth. 2 + 2 is true for the atheist and the Christian, but there are some kinds of knowledge and wisdom that can only come from God. So, you're in the club, in some sense. You've committed yourself. You see, and oftentimes, revelation, notice this, it comes during the dark times in our life, in the midnight hour. It says during the night. Have you ever had that crisis, that midnight, that dark time, and you needed a word from God, and that's when the revelation came? Oftentimes, that's the way that God gives us his wisdom and his strength. That's the way we receive it. See, revelation is God's wisdom, but the world competing for our allegiance and our attention, well, it offers a counterfeit. It's the world's wisdom versus the word's wisdom. You ever feel like you're caught in between? I mean, we're flooded with worldly information all the time. What's getting our attention? And where does our allegiance rest? I mean, sadly, people often turn to all kinds of sources. I mean, unreliable sources, sometimes downright dangerous. I mean, just down the road, down Plandome Road right here, you have a competing counterfeit source of revelation. I walked down there yesterday to take a picture of this. I mean, this is right across the street from Butter Cookie. And I ended up hanging out with these guys. But it's a competing counterfeit source of revelation. I mean, people have a bent, by the way, toward the transcendent. I mean, look at this next picture. We have almost a vacuum in us that longs for something supernatural. We were created to be beings that interact with spiritual things. We're spiritual beings. So we want something transcendent. And people want answers and revelation for their mysteries. And they turn to the occult. So look at this psychic reader. This is just a close-up of it. You can't even see it, but my image is right there in the mirror. And I was thinking as I was taking this picture and saw my reflection coming back, who defines me? What defines me? My identity? Do I turn to something like this? You see, the problem with this occult stuff, by the way, this stuff will mess you up. I've seen people get really messed up with this because it's oftentimes you get a half-truth. And a half-truth is a whole lie, by the way. Remember that. A half-truth is a whole lie. There's an admixture. There's an adulteration. It's kind of poison. If I want you to take poison, the best way to disguise it is put it in something you like. You'll eat it. You won't even notice it. So some of these things might seem a little more innocent. I mean, take this, fortune cookie. I'm going to make a mess up here. Somebody's going to have to clean this up. Probably be me. But what do you think? We turn to this. This one's a dud, actually. No, we're talking about major prop failure here. All right? That could be a sign right there. I didn't stage this. Well, we're going to go for another one. So sometimes we're eating out and we get these. And here's the thing. I get it. They can be fun. But my fortune is for today. See if there's a... Well, it says this. Demonstrate refinement in everything you do. Well, I don't know how refined I am. Judging from the mess up here, I don't think so refined. People will take things like this and they'll use this as their source of information. There was a group of people, you know, there was lottery officials called into a state because it looked like multiple people from, it wasn't just one state, around the country, they all hit with the same numbers and people couldn't figure out what was going on. They traced the source back to a fortune cookie maker who gave the same lottery numbers on a bunch of fortune cookies. They found that was the thing that brought people together. But people look for sources of information. And maybe it's not a fortune cookie, maybe it's a horoscope. You know, David Guetta, remember the song Titanium? Some of you know it, some of you don't. Well, I mean, he's Grammy Award winning, and he was met with Madonna. Madonna wanted to do some work with him, and Madonna was talking with him, and everything was going fine. And then she asked him what his sign was. He said, Scorpio. And she said, well, I'm sorry, I won't be able to work with you. It was nice to know you. I mean, all based on the guy's sign. And by the way, here's my horoscope. I actually looked mine up today. This is my horoscope for Sunday. I'm a Pisces. It says this, go with the flow on Sunday. With all this untamed energy swirling, you could find yourself in the middle of two warring parties. Now, pastors often find themselves in the middle of two warring parties. But rather than pick sides, could you adopt a neutral stance? Trying to control the situation may be impossible. Playing Switzerland is the best strategy for de-escalating the conflict. Trust that the universe will eventually work things out. Well, I've got news for you. There is no spiritual Switzerland. It's spiritual warfare. That's the truth. And as Christians, we're not called to be Switzerland. We're called to swim upstream, not go with the current of the culture. We're countercultural. So you're a peculiar person. You're not Switzerland. And by the way, the universe isn't going to work anything out. The universe is inanimate. It has no knowledge, no volition, no wisdom. If you're waiting for the universe to work things out, you're going to be waiting a very long time. And the universe can wait you out. You need God. We need a word from God. So, no, we've got to receive information from a living, knowledgeable being, one with limitless wisdom and infinite wisdom and knowledge, not finite information. I mean, even if astrology worked, even if fortune cookies worked, even if horoscopes had some truth, they're still finite. They're limited in their scope. And the truth is, they can be manipulated and downright dangerous, and they find their source in something other than God. And that may not be something you want to rely on. We need to receive revelation from a being with no boundaries constraining his knowledge. We need to check our sources. People get information from all kinds of unreliable sources. News feeds. You're in an echo chamber. Social media. Headlines. In vogue social science. Political propaganda. Where is your information coming from? Is it reliable? What gets your allegiance? You see, but it's not enough just to receive information. We have to rely on it. And if we have to rely on it, that means that we have to trust its accuracy and the goodness of its source. You see, this information we rely on not only has to be accurate, but we have to trust the character of the source. The universe has no character, by the way. You can't trust the universe. God is good, so we can put all our trust in him. We can climb out on the limb of his revelation and saw it off behind us. It will bear us up. You know that? You can trust in God's word, his revelation. It will not fail us. Look at verse 16. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream. Daniel is relying on God's revelation, and here's how you know it. The king just gave an edict to kill all the wise men. And instead of fleeing, like any wise person would, Daniel so trusts that his God will supply both what the dream is and the interpretation that he doesn't run. He asks to be taken to the king, to be presented to the face of danger. He wanted to be taken directly to the threat, and he did this before he had received the revelation, by the way. You talk about relying on something. You talk about climbing out on the limb and sawing it off behind you. He did it. And if we're going to be this bold and rely on revelation so heavily, we need to know the source. This is so important. You know, one of the guys that was with us yesterday was Lynn. He said, Nathan, what's the difference between a prophet, God's people, and a psychic? I mean, really, they both tell you things. And I said, in two words, the source. The source is the difference. The source makes all the difference in the world. His question is a great one, though. And how can we test so-called revelation? Because you might get something, and it might even seem counterintuitive. How do we know that something is from God? Well, you know, students are often reminded to check sources. And let me give you three principles that may help you ferret out whether something is truly from God. And that's this. If something, you know, if you wanted to know where I was or where this Bible was in three-dimensional space, you need three coordinates. Does anybody know what those would be? You need to know altitude, you need to know latitude, and you need to know longitude. There are three coordinates you need to know the truth of the location of anything in three-dimensional space. Similarly, we have something spiritually. We have the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the community of faith. You need to ask yourself, does this comport with the Word of God? Does it line up with God's Word? Is it consistent with God's Word? Or does it contradict it? If you get a revelation, is this consistent with God's Word? And that means we need to be in the Word of God to know this. And does the Holy Spirit, does your spirit bear witness to the truth of this? I mean, we need to walk in the Spirit. Sometimes somebody will tell you something, and you know what? It could be in this, it might be not contradict the Scripture, but it just doesn't feel right. You ever had that happen? That's the Holy Spirit telling you something. And then thirdly, the community of faith. There's safety in the multitude of counselors. You shouldn't be off. There's no prophecy of private interpretation. Be around godly people, people who love you and care for you. And here's the thing. If you get a revelation from God and want to test whether it is one, does it line up with God's word? Is it consistent or does it contradict it? Does the Holy Spirit give you a sense of peace about it, testify to the truthfulness of it? Does the community of faith say, hey, yeah, that sounds right? Do you get confirmation about the veracity of this thing? Do you see what I'm saying? There's a threefold, three-coordinate thing to help us test a revelation. Put it to the test. You should test all the things. God won't fail you. And if you have all three of these lined up, by the way, you have triple warrant for believing this revelation. But if we're relying on revelation that we've received from God, then it's proper to respond to God. And the proper response is worship. Look at verse 20. It says, praise be to the name of God forever and ever, wisdom and power. Daniel says the awesomeness of God's revelation, his limitless knowledge and wisdom should stir us to worship, to praise his name. You see, God's wisdom knows no boundaries. There are no walls. There's no height. There's no depths. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways. There is no geometrical constraints on God's knowledge and wisdom. We serve a God who knows everything, the number of hairs on your head. He knows the end from the beginning. He can not only know everything, he can do anything. He has power. He's got infinite wisdom, infinite power, infinite knowledge. And the world only offers something finite and fallible. And then look at verse 21. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. See, he is sovereign. God can bring a king up and he can take a king down. It's not that he just knows everything. He can do anything. So check your source and then respond with worship to God. Notice what Daniel says in verse 22. He says, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. There are some things that are too deep and too hidden for us. God is the revealer of those. That's revelation. Many years ago, I lived in Cleveland, Tennessee, and I had a revelation. Actually, I had a dream. And I didn't know what it meant in the dream. My friend, who's a Nigerian pastor, I saw Michael Obi, and in the dream, he said to me, they've killed Margie Minton. It's a very strange thing to hear, because I don't know a Margie Minton. But that's what he said in the dream. I woke up from it. My apartment was above his. We lived in a duplex. I went out on the porch, but we had like a deck. I went out on the deck, and I saw Michael walking out. And as he was walking out, I said, Michael, I had a very strange dream last night, or really this morning. And in the dream, you said to me, they've killed Margie Minton. I said, does that mean anything? It was such a strange thing. And I saw his face just change, like he was stunned. Well, apparently Margie Minton was someone he did know, and that she was kind of protege of a person who founded a very large, we'll say a denomination, it's a very big group, Christian organization. And this man had passed away, and she was to be a successor, but a lot of people didn't like that. And they began to slander her. It was character assassination. He said, I know what this is. He said, in that they killed her, it was through character assassination. He had come into this, and he was, I don't know, maybe serving as a mediator. I don't know. But here's the strange thing. It wasn't that I was interpreting a dream. Actually, he had the interpretation. God told me the name of a person I've never met. And you can take that for what you can try to come up with an explanation for it. I'm a very rational guy. I mean, I look for reasons first. God did that. That's revelation. And I'll just tell you this. That's the only one. I could give you multiple stories like that. But when I think about how God does that, how can I not praise him? How can you not praise him when he's shown up in the midnight hour at times, revealing things to you that you couldn't possibly have known? I mean, verse 23 says, I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. It comes from God. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known the dream of the king. I got a dream, made known the name of a person I had never met. God reveals things that no intellect can apprehend. He uncovers hidden and deep things. He gives wisdom that the world does not understand. He provides wisdom that's too lofty for us to ascend to and acquire in our own strength. Take a look at verse 11. What the king asks is too difficult. Got that right. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans. You know, these wise men were part right, partly wrong. I mean, remember, a half-truth is a whole lie. I mean, it's true that some things are too difficult for humans to apprehend. They got that part right. You can't ascend to it. There are some things that are simply out of reach. But they were wrong about the gods part. I mean, it's true that this wisdom is above people, but it wasn't gods. It's God. And this God did come and dwell among us in the person of Jesus Christ. God comes down from heaven and dwells with us in the person of Jesus Christ. And he has manifested the wisdom of God. Jesus just is the ultimate revelation of God. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and what? the wisdom of God. Wisdom is ultimately expressed in the person of Jesus Christ. He's God's ultimate revelation and disclosure to the world. Now, if you're here today and you don't know him, and maybe you're here and you're desperate because there's something hidden to you, maybe it's a bad relationship, maybe it's a next move for a career, you need a job, you need an answer. If that's you, then I want to encourage you, first of all, get to know the ultimate revelation, that's Jesus. And know this, that some things can only come down from above. If that's you, I want to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus, God's wisdom, he sent him into the world to die for us. Jesus came into the world not only to express God's wisdom, but also his salvation, his love, his mercy, and his grace. He will save you. He will rescue you if you ask him to. All you have to do is confess that you're a sinner and you need him, that some things are too lofty for you. You can't reach them. It's okay. He'll come to you. You just have to ask. And maybe you're here and you've got a pressing question and you need an answer to it. God can provide that answer for you. Maybe you need to ask other people like Daniel did to pray so you can receive something. And we would love to pray with you to do that. We've got prayer teams that pray all the time. But I'm about to pray now. If you don't know Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, I pray that you come to know him. If you have a question that only God can answer, ask it. If you need his wisdom, he'll grant it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your revelation. Lord, we trust in you and we rely on it. Lord, help us to receive it first of all. Help our postures change. Help us to pray. Help us to ask others to pray. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to open ourselves to receive what you pour down to us. And Lord, help us to rely on it. God, I want to follow your word more than any words I hear on television, social media, through a horoscope, through a fortune cookie. God, you are the trustworthy, singular, completely trustworthy source of all things good and holy and righteous and wisdom and knowledge, God. And you have the power to do anything, so I want to rely on you. And God, I worship you for this. I thank you for revealing things that were hidden, things that were too deep for me, things that were too high for me, things that were beyond my reach, God. And Lord, for those who don't know you, God, I pray right now that you move in their hearts. Lord Jesus, be the Lord of our lives. Forgive us of our sin. Pour your wisdom, the wisdom of salvation into our hearts, God. We ask for this revelation in Jesus' name. Amen.